Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
This is Gay News Week on Joy 94.9. Have your say. 1300 Joy 949.
Gay News Week.
Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9. This evening with just Sammy and Matt. Jeffrey, being on the Joy 94.9 board, is in a board meeting tonight and is unfortunately unable to join us.
Here at Gay News Week, we aim to cover topics that have been in the news over the past week and how they impact on you, us and our community. On tonight's show, we will be discussing Tasmania's new bill amendment for the anti-discrimination bill against intersex persons, as well increased with that in the week of Intersex Awareness Day, which is this Friday, October 26th. Matt, with special guest Dylan from Joy 94.9's Generation Next, we'll be having a bit of a chat about the National Safe Schools Symposium they attended last Saturday. And we'll also have special guest in the studio, Dawn Hoff, Program Director of Pride in Diversity, to talk about their organisation. As always, if you need to get in contact, this is how you do so.
You're listening to the Gay Newsweek podcast with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt. Get in touch. Email gaynewsweek@joy.org.au or check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links to our social media pages.
But first, Tasmania is set to become the first state in the world to specifically include intersex people in its anti-discrimination policy. The proposed overhaul of Tasmania's Anti-Discrimination Act is also expected to benefit transgender people. The move comes from the last state in Australia to decriminalise homosexuality and also coincides in the same week of Intersex Awareness Day, which will be held this coming Friday, the 26th of October.
Of course, intersex is something that we don't often talk about, but you know, when we're talking about the LGBTI, it's the I in our alphabet. So it's something that quite often, as we do say quite often with transgendered members of our community, the I is probably the letter in our alphabet that gets left out the most, I think.
Yeah, certainly. And like, see, because you hear so much about gay, lesbian, bisexual and sometimes transgender as well. But yeah, the I is often a point that really just doesn't get focused on because I think it's mainly due to because there's not as many of them within the world and there are less of them. That doesn't mean they're less important, but at the same time, that's why they sometimes get a little bit skimmed over.
And it can be something very as simple as, you know, when you're actually looking, it starts off from when you're born. I mean, we are all born this way, regardless. We are members of all the rainbow family, and we are all born this way. Mm. But the first thing, a parent will ask the doctor when their child is born is, what sex is it? Quite often it's very obvious. Yeah. And unfortunately, some of the times that it's not. And it could be as much as little as is 1 in 1,500 or 1 in 2,000 births have children that actually carry intersex conditions. So this is something that, you know, is a lot more common than than more obvious of a child born with an unusually small penis or a female child born with an unusually large clitoris. But once it comes down to in their actual genetic makeup, you can actually have a typical female is XX and a typical male is XY, but the chromosomes can actually be not typical of that.
Mm, most certainly. And I think this is great coming from Tasmania, where they're leading the way a little bit as far as acknowledging intersex and transgender people within their Discrimination Act, and specifically mentioning it is something that I think is really important, because it's all well and good to say same-sex attracted and genderqueer people in the Discrimination Act, but to actually mention transgender and intersex people along with the gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender, I'm repeating myself, but you get the point.
Yes.
I think it's actually really important that they're specifically mentioning it.
And we are starting to see a lot more awareness. Of course, you know, with Intersex Awareness Day, which is on October 26th. Now, this has actually been around since in 1996, activists from the Intersex Society of North America and their allies actually first held their first demonstration in Boston, where the American Academy of Pediatrics was holding their annual conference. So it's basically about raising awareness and realising that, you know, they are just like us.
Yeah, definitely. And Tasmania is somewhere where they are really leading the way in these kind of things, because you will have heard throughout the media that Tasmania recently just narrowly fell short of becoming the first state in Australia to legalise same-sex marriages. So they seem to be kind of leading the way, especially from a state that's come from so far behind with say, decriminalising homosexuality.
As late as 1997. Now, they were crazy. The last state in Australia. So we're talking, so what's that? 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So 15 years ago, it was illegal
to be me.
Yes, that's right. For us to be who we are in that state. Yeah. So in a short period of time, Tasmania is one of the most progressive states. They've come such a long way in the fact that they've brought together the marriage bills, they've brought together relationship registers, ability for adoption, and all of that recognisation of members of our community.
Yeah, and not only are they leading the way within Australia, they're also leading the way within the world, because this is the first time that a discrimination act will have the words intersex and transgender included in them. But obviously, at the same time, this isn't a certain thing. It's not going to happen. It's not a certainty because, of course, there's it has to go through the House of Parliament, and obviously that's where the problems are, especially like we've experienced with the Equal Marriage Bill. It went up in the lower house and then fell down in the upper house.
And we were also thinking that that was going to be pretty much a given because Tasmania having come a long way, that there was also this natural assumption. I think there was quite a shock that we had, in the last month when this bill was actually not accepted, that Tasmania was at that point where they were like, yes, okay, they're going to be this revolutionary, pioneering state and they're going to move forward in leaps and bounds. And I think we were all quite shocked that they didn't actually bring this forward.
Yeah, certainly. And of course, staying with the topic of being a leading state, they've repeatedly re-elected the country's first openly gay party leader down there. So they're certainly not lagging behind as far as it comes to civil right action, but it would be great to see kind of a little bit of firm action and have it cemented in there.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, there was also this fantastic documentary which was made in the last couple of years. I actually saw this on ABC about a year ago. It was called Orchids, My Intersex Adventure. It was made by a young filmmaker, Phoebe Hart, and also appeared her sister, Bonnie. Now, she's a member of, there's three members in the family, three sisters. Both Phoebe and Bonnie were born intersex, and their other sister was born a carrier. So when she had any children, she would pass that condition on as well. So it's actually a very, very enlightening interview documentary, and something definitely that you can actually look up. And we will put those links on our Facebook page as well, so you can find out more information. The DVD is available. It's a great way to keep a young documentary maker going.
What was it called again? What was the documentary
Orchids,
called?
Orchids, My Intersex Adventure. So she does explain in there that Orchids, the reason they use the word orchids is because of their orchids being able to carry both sex organs.
Right. That's really interesting. Mm. You are listening to Gay News Week right here on Joy 94.9. It is news and current affairs from a bent perspective.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Last Saturday, the Foundation for Young Australians, in partnership with the Safe Schools Coalition of Victoria, held the first ever National Safe Schools Symposium in Melbourne. The conference, which gathered teachers, academics, politicians and welfare groups from around the country, looked at ways to wipe out homophobia and transphobia within schools and creating safer schools for same-sex attracted and genderqueer young people. Representing Joy 94.9 at the event was Dylan Adler from Generation Next and myself.
And we have Dylan in the studio with us now. Welcome to Gay Newsweek, Dylan.
Oh, wow. I feel like a bit of the love. I feel good to be in here tonight.
Absolutely. This is the place for it, my love.
Oh.
Now, Matt, you also attended the symposium as well. And,
yes, I did.
And both of you are went to different talks on the day, and it went for the whole day. So let us know a little bit about how they went.
Yeah, so basically the symposium for some parts were broken up between the second stream was kind of for young people and talking about ways they can get involved in these kind of actions. And then stream one was the boring bit, you could say, the facts and figures, the academics talking about kind of the way they've introduced it. Now, Dylan, you attended the second stream for young people.
Yeah.
Because, of course, your show Generation Next is for young people.
Yep. Yeah, I thought there might have been a bit of relevance if I went along to that one.
I definitely
just a bit.
Tiny bit.
What kind of things were covered in that second stream for young people?
Well, the second stream was all about how youth can start these groups and start these support groups and what is expected and what they will expect when they start organising the groups and how to get involved.
Mm. What were some of the groups that were actually in attendance and kind of guiding you through these steps?
Well, there was, of course, Minus 18, who do so much for the LGBTIQ youth network. That was headlined by Micah.
Yeah, so he was actually the former presenter of your show.
Yeah, it was a bit of like, oh, hi, how you going? You know, I like you. But yeah, he was talking about how he set up the same-sex formal and how that started. And from he was started off like thinking about how his formal in his school, how they set that up and looking at the budget. Now, the budget that they had was at the high school was something like 96 grand.
Wow.
And then the budget for the same-sex formal was something like 2 grand. And it was like,
oh, that's awesome.
How do we do this?
So that was run for the first time last year. And I believe there was over 400 youth that attended. And it was also greatly supported by a lot of groups through regional Victoria. I know places like Shepparton, their diversity project did actually purchase a lot of tickets for the youth in their area, and a lot of similar organisations did that as well.
The biggest thing he was saying was that at first it was like kind of like how are we going to get the tickets out? How are we going to get the support for this? But one key thing that I took away from it was that he said just get out there and just approach businesses, approach organisations and say, look, hey, we're running this event, and people do follow and people do listen, and especially people in our community, we're quite inclusive and we do care a lot for, you know, the next generation, because we all know what it's like. Mm. They all knew what it was like for us when going through it. So there was a lot of support. And then another workshop that was run was Wear It Purple.
Yeah, well, they're an organisation that we've kind of spoken about on the show before, and we've spoken to people from Wear It Purple about the day.
Mm.
What kind of things did they have to say?
Well, they mainly were talking about getting the information out there and starting a dialogue, and, you know, by wearing the Wear It Purple Day, the wristbands.
Yeah.
And what the speaker...
Jade Ellis.
Thank you, yeah. Jade Ellis, who's awesome.
Yeah, she's their media representative. She spoke to us on the show the week of Wear It Purple.
She is just like a lot of energy, but she was saying that they went to 20 schools and they had 100 people from each school supporting the Wear It Purple, and that turned out to be something like 2,000 people.
Wow.
So 2,000 people that are going out there supporting Wear It Purple, getting that information across. It opened up a massive dialogue.
Mm.
And then through Wear It Purple Day and Wear It Purple, the organisation, the New South Wales Police Force, they heard about it and then they got on with the support. So
they actually provided the funding.
They did.
Paid for all of the wristbands.
Yeah. Mm. And they even like, it was just crazy. And one of the biggest things that they were reinforcing is that there is support for these youth groups when they start getting out there. And all that they need to do is just start putting their voice out there and saying, look, hey, we're starting these organizations, we're starting these foundations. Can you help us?
So from an educator's point of view, Matt, how were they actually looking at being able to support the movements? And because you went to the more educators talks in this, and were they looking at actually how to support the student movements and how to actually create that awareness within the system?
Yeah, certainly. Because there were a range of speakers from the stream that I was in, including politicians and as you said, educators. There were a couple of schools actually represented there, which there was Reservoir High and Keilor Downs High School. Now, they are two schools that have in Victoria that have recently been in the press about their positive actions towards same-sex attracted youth and genderqueer.
Can I just say, those two schools, they blew me away.
Yeah, me
absolutely
too, actually.
Absolutely blew me away. The amount of support that the students had for each other, it just... I could never, ever in a million years have imagined that happening while I was in high school.
Yeah. Some of the actions that they've got going at these schools, like, for example, Keilor Downs, they've got a Gay Straight Alliance and program that's fully supported by the school.
Yeah.
And is actually, from what I understand, from what they were saying, was actually really supported by the students as well, which I think is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Also, there was one thing that wasn't really made of such a big deal, but it actually made meant a lot to me was one of the students that was speaking from Keilor Downs High School. She mentioned about how a kid had got a detention for saying "that's so gay" and language like that, which I think is absolutely incredible. Like, for example, my high school that I went to, that language was just every day, and if anything was anything remotely bad, it would be automatically "that's so gay."
Yep.
So many young people use that language, and to see a school leading the way with teachers disciplining students for using language like that is it's really just poor language.
It's not just the teachers; it's also the students that are getting behind it. When I was talking to one of the girls from the Reservoir School, and she was saying that whenever someone starts talking homophobic, the students around them, they just stop and stare, and they're like, "Are you kidding me? Like, are you joking?" I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Which is really amazing to change a school's culture like that, and to change the way the young people are thinking and speaking is just absolutely incredible. It's actually nourishing this new generation of young people that are really accepting and don't fall for this stupidity.
From the second panel presentation with the Foundation for Young Australians, one fact that I took out from that workshop was that the 15 to 19-year-old age bracket, you will never think like that. You will never have that same mental capacity that you do in that 15 to 19 years. You aren't inhibited by other, more adult thoughts. You just, the world is your oyster, and there is no limitations on what you can do.
So it's certainly like the best time to strike with these kids and start getting good habits.
To start in that 15 to 19 year old and start listening to the people in that age bracket as well.
The thing that also excites me, talking about Reservoir High School, I've just recently moved into the area, and that will be the high school that my son will be attending. And regardless of you know, how he feels, you know, once he comes into maturity and as he grows up, he's part of a rainbow family. He's part of the Joy family, and I'm really looking forward to the fact that in a couple of years he's going to be going to, he's actually sitting in the studio at the moment and the boys are looking at him laughing at reading his comic books, but he's going to be going to a high school that will be accepting of the lifestyle that he leads. He lives at Joy, you know. His friends are performance drag queens and intersex mayors and, you know, transgendered members of our community, and he will be in an environment, regardless of how he matures, that will be accepting of him and his lifestyle, and that's really exciting as a parent to see that in my local area.
You are listening to Gay News Week. We are speaking about the National Safe School Symposium, and I want to hear from you. We've been talking about these schools that are really great in leading the way with kind of wiping out homophobic and transphobic language from their schools. But what was your experience like when you were at school? Send us a text 0427-JOY-949 or send us an email onair@joy.org.au, because we really want to hear from you.
We also spoke to, last week, to Ros Ward, who is the leader of the Victorian Safe Schools Coalition, and they've been doing some amazing work in getting this education out there. Now, she also spoke at the symposium and was part of the people organising it. You're also saying that there was some politicians speaking there as well.
There certainly was. The Victorian Education Minister, Martin Dixon, had a few things to say, which it was really positive to see politicians coming out and speaking at these things. You think when you hear these things that they're speaking there, that it's kind of just a little bit obligatory. They've been asked and they have to show up. But some of the things that Mr. Dixon had to say was actually really meaningful to me. Like, for example, he came forward with the point that good teachers make personal relationships and respect their students, which I find really interesting, because when I was at high school, it was just kind of, there was a bit of a dichotomy where they were the teachers, you respect them no matter what, and you just listen to what they said. For the education...
What school did you go to? I mean, what teenager doesn't diss his teacher? I mean, I think that's awesome to hear though, Matt.
I say that in that's what was expected. I didn't say that's what always happened.
With that, building relationships with the students, I mean, I went to a really feral high school on the Gold Coast, and it was just like, you know, I felt sorry for the teachers. They were just like, you know, we get in, we get out of the day, and we don't get stabbed. That's going to be a good day for me.
Right. But see, the other thing is too, I think that we can also take this one step further. We're not only just talking about, and which is mostly the important reason for doing this, is making this a safe space for same-sex attracted youth and members of the rainbow community, but also too for the teachers. I mean, as a same-sex attracted teacher, you know, you want to be able to be teaching and working in a safe environment. You know, this, you know, kids, as you know, in school can be dreadfully cruel. This education could then lead to people being in a safer workplace as well as a safer place to be educated.
Also, staying with Martin Dixon's comments from what he was saying, he was talking about how the current government has continued funding for the Safe Schools Coalition, which I think is absolutely excellent to hear that. And also he spoke a little bit about the Safe Schools Coalition and how there are 79 schools that are on board. Although that's not many compared to the amount of schools throughout Victoria, that number is growing, which is very positive to hear. And 4,000 resources have been distributed by the Safe Schools Coalition of Victoria, which is a lot of resources. That's a lot of pamphlets.
The other politicians we had speaking were Penny Wong.
Yes.
Who did a closing...
Penny Wong did make some closing remarks, which were absolutely excellent. And also, Tanya Plibersek also sent a message through, which was absolutely great. And we can actually listen to that right now. So take a listen.
Hello, I'm Tanya Plibersek, the Minister for Health. Everybody deserves to feel safe at school, but I know for some students, things aren't always easy. All too often, that includes students who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or intersex. But thanks to people like you, we're working to end that discrimination. Together, we'll challenge homophobia and transphobia in schools and win. I want to send a very clear message to students across this country. Students who may be growing up in families or in communities, places where they're being told that they are not okay. I'm thinking of every one of those students, and I want to say to each and every one of them, you're just fine and things will get better. Safe schools are everybody's responsibility. The community has a responsibility to its schools, teachers to their students, and students to one another. I hope you enjoy the rest of the symposium, and I look forward to hearing your ideas on how we can make our schools safer and more welcoming for every student.
Joy 94.9.
That was the Federal Health Minister, Tanya Plibersek, speaking at the National Safe Schools Symposium, which was held in Melbourne, that myself and Dylan Adler, who is joining us in the studio from Generation Next, attended.
Yeah. Do you know what? It was an awesome day. I loved it. At first I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be at a conference all day on a Saturday from like 9 in the morning till 5.
Yep.
And it was the best way I've spent my Saturday in a long time.
I was actually really surprised at how eye-opening it was, like the experience to hear these great and positive messages.
And engaging as well. That was the most, because I don't have the greatest attention span, Matt. I'm going to be honest, but the whole time I was like, wow, totally blown away.
You're certainly not alone there. Another politician that spoke was the South Australian Minister for Communities and Social Inclusion. His name is Ian Hunter, and he had some really interesting things to say. He believes strongly in students' right to learn, so a right to learn in an environment that is free of discrimination and distractions. Also, he spoke a little bit about sporting codes and how the work that Jason Ball is doing towards kind of clearing that up in the AFL space. But he also spoke about one school in his own state called Wirreander High School, and they're leading the way in South Australia, it kind of seems. Like they're a little bit like our Keilor Downs and Reservoir High in Victoria, where that you will remember that they recently had a petition that they signed at their school that where I think 800 students or something signed this.
They're not using the word "it's so gay."
Yeah. Using that kind of that's so gay language, which is absolutely amazing. 800 students.
That when I heard that story, that actually made my heart melt, because like growing up in a high school in Queensland, going to a high school in Queensland, wow, you would never, ever, ever expect something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm another generation or two, the new boys. Well, probably two. And I grew up in a generation going to a very large country public school, high school, where the F word was an everyday part of school. And, you know, back then, you know, I was still very unaware about my sexuality. But I think back with, you know, 1,300 kids at this school, people growing up, you know, with that awareness that I didn't have back then, how heartbreaking it would be for them. And then now seeing the great steps we're making is amazing.
Yeah, most definitely. And especially sticking with schools and education, because they are a really important part of people's young people's upbringing is at Keilor Downs High School, they were talking about how where the kind of programs like the Gay Straight Alliances programs came about, and two students were there at the symposium on Saturday, and they were talking about how they approached one teacher who was actually at the symposium as well, and was talking about how this is what we want to do. We want to set up a Gay Straight Alliance and start making a change within the school. But then this teacher turned around and said, look, there are no reports of homophobia in our school. There's no negativity. Why do we need to do this? This isn't really something that we need to do at our school because we don't have a problem. But then the students came back with something that I thought was absolutely amazing.
Yes.
And they turned around and they said, yeah, that's great that there's no negativity, but where's the embracing of same-sex attracted and genderqueer people?
And where's the celebration in that as well? That was awesome, because it was just like they totally flipped it on them. I thought, you clever little kiddies. That
And the teacher actually sat there and said how she thought, yep, right, okay, these kids are onto something. This is something that we need to get onto.
I think we're making some great steps forward, and I'm really, really excited about this. The next big step for us to make is making sure that we're also being aware of our youth that are gender questioning, and being able to sort of say to our youth that transgendered, to be able to say we have that, because I think that transphobia, the education is not quite there yet. We still need to be aware of that in our schools and make sure that everyone's sort of at that point as well. And I think that's the next step in this great journey that the schools are on.
Yeah, certainly. And see, obviously the point of the whole symposium was to make a few recommendations from it. And some of the things that they were talking about were, it's important when making policies like anti-bullying policies within schools to specifically mention that these policies are to stop discrimination against GLBTIQ youth. Yeah. And specifically mention it and make sure the teachers understand that. Also, a few other recommendations that this kind of education should start in primary schools, which I think is really interesting, especially towards the end of primary school where you're in grade 5 and 6, you're starting to hit puberty. That's when you're starting to discover who you are, and that's where we need to start kind of changing.
Yeah, and especially for, I guess, rainbow families as well, who have the next generation of, you know, kids being brought up in same-sex attracted families, and to helping to break down those discrimination barriers and just any kind of negative stigmas, because that's really important to get it while they're young.
Yeah, certainly. And as well, employing qualified counsellors rather than chaplains to help students, and of course support for young same-sex attracted genderqueer people who are not in school, like for example in TAFEs. So obviously not all young people are in high school. Some go on to TAFE and other educational institutions, so it's important to reach them as well. Dylan, thank you so much. We are bang out of time, but thank you so much for joining us here.
Now, Dylan, where can we hear more of you and Generation X?
Well, you can hear all about the LGBTIQ youth every Monday night from 7 till 8 p.m.
That is right here on Joy 94.9, which is where you are. Stick around.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
We're joined in the studio now by Dawn Hoff, who is the Program Director of Pride and Diversity. Now, you may have heard a little bit of background noise here in the studio tonight.
it's a bit hard to miss.
We are that popular. We do have a crowd, but the reason is we actually have a special function here tonight. Welcome to the studio, Dawn.
Thank you.
Can you let us know a little bit about Pride and Diversity and how that came about?
Sure. Pride and Diversity is Australia's not-for-profit employer support program in all aspects of LGBT inclusion. So basically, we work with member organisations in terms of looking at things like their policies to make sure that they are fair and that they are inclusive and that they are equitable for all people, including those who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex. And we also look at ways that the organisation culturally becomes more inclusive. So having a look at things, for example, bullying and harassment policies, how that's tolerated or not tolerated, having a look at workplace behaviour, what's acceptable, non-acceptable. So basically people can just come to work and be themselves. That's essentially what we're after.
Excellent. So which organisations do you deal with? Just in Victoria or Australia?
Nationally.
Nationally.
So we are based in Sydney, but we are a national program, and we put a lot of time and effort to making sure that we're not seen as Sydney-centric. So we are in all of the different states on a regular basis, and our members are across Australia. So the work that we do, interestingly enough, is starting to reach more and more now into Asia Pacific.
Excellent.
To give you an example, some of the training that we're doing through video conferencing through our members is reaching into places like Bangalore, Singapore, And I think that's a really important issue that we're actually looking at too, is how that inclusion initiative is actually reaching out to a regional perspective, I suppose, or a regional initiative.
Hmm. So when you're talking to organisations about making sure people are included in within workplaces, is it more about like prevention of problems arising, or do you also deal with when problems do arise and like kind of advocacy?
Look, we're not an employee advocate, and I think that's really important. If an employee comes to us and says, look, you know, our organisation's a member of Pride and Diversity and it's the most homophobic place that I've ever worked, then we would send that employee back to our contact at that employer, and then we would contact the employer about what we can actually do to help resolve the issue. If we started sending people down to Anti-Discrimination or Human Rights Commission, then obviously employers are not going to invite us in to have a look at inclusion initiatives. We are there to support the employers 100% in making sure their workplace is inclusive so that those instances do not occur.
Because you have now partnering with you quite a number of national institution companies that have been around for a great deal of many years, and it's also increasing, you know, the awareness within our community that these are also safe areas for members of our community to work in.
Yeah, look, I think that's really important. I mean, our top 10 employers, for example, we are not saying that all of these organisations are best practice and absolutely are completely free of any level of discomfort for LGBT employees, but these are organisations that say, you know what, this is really, really important. This is something that we are looking into, and we are putting in absolutely effort. Oh, sorry, that sounds good, doesn't it? We are putting in a lot of effort to make sure that all of our employees, not just LGBTI employees, but all of our employees are treated with respect and can come to work and be themselves. So I think that's a really important thing, is it's not about saying, yes, if you see a Pride and Diversity member organisation, they're best practice, but you can be guaranteed if you go to work for one of those organisations and you are bullied or harassed because of your orientation or gender identity or expression, then it will actually be addressed because it's an active initiative. I mean, we have in the studio today with us Bowden, and Bowden is from Goldman Sachs. And so he's from an employer who's on our top 10 employee list, and he can certainly give perspective of what it's like to be an inclusive employer or inclusive employee.
Well, Bowden, welcome to Gay News Week this
evening. Matt. Great.
Now, please do tell us, what is it like to work for Goldman Sachs, and what's the culture like as far as surrounding GLBTIQ employees?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I can only come from a personal perspective because, you know, I'm someone that works at that organisation, and these are my views as opposed to anyone else's views in it. I do feel included. We have a very strong diversity program. It's all about making sure that people are included, can bring their whole selves to work, and therefore perform as well as they possibly can in the workplace. Pride and Diversity really helps encourage us to be able to make sure that our policies are appropriate and that we can achieve that.
And of course, you know, that's the reality of this is we want to be able to be at work. We want to be able to say, my partner, our children, our families, whether they be two-legged or four-legged children, and be able to be inclusive when we're sitting around in the lunchroom with our workmates, and be able to talk about while everybody else is going away for the weekend, and not feel that exclusion, and also feel comfortable in your environment, because you spend a lot of time in your life at work.
Absolutely. I spend a lot of time in my life at my work, and I want to be able to talk about my boyfriend. I want to be able to talk about what I did on the weekend, not just put it into terms of partner or hide anything that I am. I like to bring all of myself to work, and you know, I find that I can do that at my organisation.
That is absolutely really great to hear. Now, Dawn, about this, the list of Pride and Diversity organisations, where can somebody, say if somebody was looking for work and they wanted to find an organisation to work for that Pride and Diversity works with, where can you find a list of those kind of organisations?
Sure. If you go onto our website, and our website is simply Pride and Diversity, one word, obviously, .com.au, and you'll find that there's a menu out there called Business Case, and the Business Case looks at all of the reasons why to be LGBT inclusive and the member benefits, and it also includes a list of members. So if you go to the list of members option from the Business Case menu, you will see a full list of all of our members, and very pleased to say that they actually cross public sector, private sector, white collar, blue collar, and also increasingly charities and not-for-profits.
Excellent. And what was your website, sorry?
Pride and Diversity. I had to think then. Isn't that terrible? Prideanddiversity.com.au.
And of course, the reason that the function is here this evening is Joy 94.9, along with Star Observer, is a media partner with
Absolutely.
You as well. So
Absolutely.
We're very, very happy to have you here and be able to sort of show members that of your organisation as well how Joy works and be able to support you in getting your message out to as many people
as
possible.
It's a fantastic relationship and people love coming here. We hold a networking event in Melbourne every quarter or so, and Joy's hosted two of those now, and they've been the most popular of all events. People love to see how the community radio works, and it's been a thrill for everybody. So thank you, Joy.
Definitely, and it has been fun having you here. Dawn Hoff,
albeit noisy.
Albeit noisy. That's all right. We can deal with that. Dawn Hoff, Program Director at Pride in Diversity, and Bowden from Goldman Sachs, thank you very much for joining us here on Gay News
Thanks,
Week.
Matt. Thanks,
You're
Annie.
Welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
It's news and current affairs from a bent perspective. This is Gay News Week. Sammy and Matt with you this evening. We're about to go around the world.
We're going around the world. Bill Gates has had an interesting move just recently. Microsoft chairman, co-founder Bill Gates and his wife donated $500,000 to Washington State's marriage equality campaign this week.
Wow, that is excellent. That's $500,000 for them.
Yeah, I know. I understand for somebody, you know, with his fortune, it's probably just small change, you know, just drop that out of my pocket on the way. But it's fantastic to see a leader of a multinational billion-dollar company putting support behind our community.
Most definitely. And, yeah, you say it is a little bit like poo change for him. But at the same time, he's made the actual conscious decision to this is an organisation which I want to support, which we could not be happy about, of course.
So, of course, this bill to legalise same-sex marriage passed in Washington State's legislature was signed off on 13th of February. However, opponents gathered enough signatures to force a referendum, and that'll be happening on the 6th of November.
Party poopers.
I know. While we're overseas, in MX, we're using a quote from MX this week. There's been a rev up for gay rights. A video of a US preacher giving a speech on gay rights has gone viral.
Which I've seen this. This is absolutely amazing. Have you seen the video?
I haven't had a chance to actually watch it yet. But
what we'll do is we'll put it up on the Facebook.
We will put a link up on Gay Newsweek's Facebook page. Now, you can actually find the link to our Facebook page by going to the Joy website, click on the program guide and find us there.
Exactly. Now, I got to tell you about this video because basically he starts off and he goes through about all these kind of anti-gay sentiments about and reasons why equal marriage shouldn't be going through parliaments and becoming law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the typical thing that you've heard, and you're watching this video going, oh, he's just another right-wing nutbag that has got outdated views or whatever. But then all of a sudden, towards the end, he starts to say a few funny things, which sound a little bit offbeat. And then what happens is he stops in the middle of his speech and goes, oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I've brought the wrong notes with me today. And what he was actually reading from was sentiments against racial equality in America and of course in the South there. So and all he had done was replace the racial bit with the marriage equality and the same sex attracted.
Yeah, so he's rehashing discriminatory speeches given in the 1950s and 1960s in America.
Exactly.
So absolutely unbelievable. So we will put a link up to that on our Facebook page. While we're overseas, and also talking about keeping up with the youth theme that we have going this evening.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great event that UK schools are being encouraged to start planning their activities for LGBT History Month. Now, they're going to pre-launch this event to celebrate the life of Alan Turing. Now, we've spoken about him previously on the show. He is a man who made groundbreaking work. Now, this will coincide with his 100th birthday.
Wow. Happy birthday.
I know. Now, this groundbreaking coding work during World War One, which helped save thousands of lives, and he's often been credited as the father of the modern computer. Now, he was hounded by authorities at the time for his homosexuality and eventually committed suicide.
Hmm. Very sad, but it's great that he's being recognised with this, the LGBT History Month, which I think is awesome. It's an awesome month.
I know, it's absolutely fantastic. Speaking of support for our youth, Missy Higgins has actually come out and praised the Australian school's ban of It's Gay. She says that she's very proud of kids pledging not to use the word gay as an insult. Now, we were speaking about that as part of the symposium, and a lot of schools are actually signing off on it and saying that we agree that this won't be part of our talk at school.
Yeah, one in particular, Wirreander High School from South Australia. And yeah, they're doing excellent work over there, and I would encourage any other schools that that want to lead the way in this to jump on board, because it's language that's still being used amongst young people. I hear it every day almost. And to have that kind of adjective for things that aren't that great, it's absolutely appalling to me.
And of course, Missy is herself has described herself as a bisexual in the past, but she's never felt comfortable in labelling or categorising human beings. With the families, there's going to be the Rainbow Families will soon be up on the App Store.
Yes, certainly. I covered this story in Joy News yesterday afternoon, and it's a new app that's being launched, and it's basically connecting Rainbow Families with other Rainbow Families. Absolutely excellent.
So it's going to be using GPS technology, similar to what you would use, for example, with a map technology, similar to like Google Maps or Apple Apps or what are those maps, or those sorts of things. So, and we're not going to talk about other apps that use that technology because that's not what this is about.
No, definitely not, especially not when families come involved.
No, absolutely not. Now you boys behave yourselves. So this will be a great app that's going to be up in a couple of weeks, and it will help the Rainbow Families connect with each other and be able to, you know, share things and be part of each other's lives.
Yeah, certainly. It's actually an initiative of a lesbian couple who kind of struggled when bringing up their children to find advice about just certain situations that they were encountering, and it was really hard for them to find advice from people in their same situation. So I think it's absolutely great, and that is due to be launched within a few weeks, so keep a lookout for that.
It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, while we're in Australia. A Melbourne human rights expert is calling for past acts of consensual homosexual sex to be erased from personal records. Now, we're talking back in the time, of course, when we were discussing earlier of homosexuality being illegal. And there were quite a few members of our community that were arrested and charged with breaking the law.
Yeah, and of course, criminal offence to break the law.
Absolutely. So, of course, these people have now carried this criminal offence with them throughout their lives. And a lot of them now sort of entering, you know, to the time where they're retiring to retirement communities and wanting to be able to get, you know, basically the retirement community loans and all that. A lot of these things aren't possible when you actually have a criminal conviction against your name. So I think it's a really, really great move.
I think it's actually really interesting that obviously these offences don't exist anymore, but at the same time, the record has kind of stayed with them, which I think is kind of odd, and something may have slipped through the sieves there. But anyway,
it's going to be really, really good to actually see something like that moving forward.
Certainly will.
Heading back overseas, unfortunately in Russia, 4 people were injured and 3 people hospitalised when a masked man stormed into a Moscow gay club last week. It's actually really quite distressing that these things are still going on. Matt, while we are in Russia, a Russian anti-gay group has launched a campaign against branding of milk with rainbow packaging, claiming it violates homosexual propaganda laws. Now, we've spoken about Russia in quite a few times in the last couple of weeks, as we've done our Around the World wrap-up, because Russia is involved in these propaganda laws. So basically, anyone talking about anything gay, homosexual, this is part of the laws that actually Madonna has been charged with for basically showing her support for LGBTI rights. Yeah, Russia are just kicking goals, aren't they?
They've got a few problems over there, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we've also had another interesting thing which has popped up. Now, you know, this is actually from somebody else's opinion, so I'm not actually going to say that we're stating the obvious here. There has apparently been a large survey done in America, a Gallup survey, which actually says poorer blacks and Asians are more likely to be gay than wealthier whites. This is a controversial claim made by this survey. So it's actually going to be very interesting to see how many people actually took part in this survey.
Very interesting. But it doesn't really look like it has much sense to it, if you ask me.
Well, you know, we have to include things that, you know, supposedly are hearsay. That was also reported in MX during the week.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
This has been a Gay Newsweek, but unfortunately this is all we have time for tonight. We want to say a special thanks to our guests in the studio this evening, Dylan from Generation Next here on Joy 94.9. You can can catch at 7 p.m. on a Monday. Also, Dawn from Pride and Diversity. Find out more information about there. Go to prideindiversity.com.au.
Yes, and of course, a very big thank you to everyone who joined in the conversation this evening, and a very big thank you to our technical producer, Matt Nock, who pushes the buttons so very well that he does.
Aye, so good. If at any time during the week you wish to get in contact with us or suggest topics, email us at gaynewsweek@joy.org.au, or you can head to joy.org.au and find the links to our Facebook and Twitter feeds. Suggest any topics you want to hear about or tweet them to us at gaynewsweekjoy.
Yes, excellent. And of course, make sure you look out for the podcast. So if you missed any of tonight's show, you can check out the podcast. Check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek. There's a link to our podcast up there. And also, before we go, we need to put out a quick reminder about this Thursday. That's tomorrow, by the way. On the line, Dean Beck, he's dedicating his whole show to a special telethon for the Lycra Lovin' team. They've done a lot of work with Joy, and you've probably heard them across a range of shows here. They're trying to raise $4,000 in 54 minutes. It sounds impossible, but I'm sure we can do it with your help. So make sure you tune in tomorrow from 12 noon, Joy 94.9. It's On the Line with Dean Beck as he does the On the Line telethon for the Lycra Lovin' team.
You can also find out more information about the Lycra Lovin' team. They're part of a There is four guys, Joy 94.9, volunteers that are part of, I think it's nearly 3,000 people that will be raising money for Peter Mack.
Yeah, 200 kilometres they're riding. That is a long way.
I know. Now, also, we want to say a special congratulations to the Cabaret Room team. You can find here on Joy 94.9 between 9 and 10 on a Sunday evening. They are celebrating their one-year anniversary. The show is going to be absolutely amazing. So if you have the chance, tune in to them and wish them happy birthday. Until next week, this has been Sammy.
And Matt.
Here's news. They say no news is good news, right? But no news means no Gay News Week. And that would be bad news. Bad, bad news. So for news you can't refuse, choose Gay News on Joy 94.9. Now there's something for you to muse.
That rhymes.
You've been listening to Gay News Week. Check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links on how you can keep up to date with the team on social media. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday from 7 p.m. right here on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.